My name is Simon Perry, and I'm here for the PAX People Oral History Project. And here is Bembridge, Bembridge on the Isle of Wight. And today is the 25th of June, 2024. And we're with...
Marlene Tolley, Nee Bailey.
Thank you for letting us into your room today, into your house. Much appreciated. Can you tell us your date and place of birth, the year and place of birth?
37. Binstead.
On the Isle of Wight. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And what was the name of your mum and dad?
Bailey.
And their first names?
Gilbert. And my mum was called Dot. That's not her first name, but that she was called Dot.
Known as Dot.
Yes.
And what did they do?
My father was... he worked for General Electricity at Kingston Power Station. My mum was just a housewife.
So he was here doing sort of engineering, that kind of stuff?
No, he was a clerical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is still there now, the power station.
Yes. Well, of course, he was in the Second World War, but then he went to the power station to work.
Mm-hmm. And how
I
was...
I can't remember the dates or anything.
Oh,
though.
That's fine.
No.
Yeah. How was growing up in Binstead?
Lovely. Well, it was so free and just everybody knew everybody else. And it was like villages were in those days. You just pleasant. Very poor. Very, very poor we were. But we were happy children. I was one of six. I was the second eldest. But we survived.
And the school was nearby?
Yes, that was in Binstead, little village school, which was idyllic, really, looking back. At the time, you don't think it is, but it was. It was really, really nice. We knew everybody. We did all the same things and all the things girls shouldn't do and climb trees and that sort of thing. But it was very nice, definitely.
Which is the year, do you think, we start looking back and realising that what seemed normal at the time was actually pretty idyllic? Is that sort of what you sort of get
I
to?
I think when you start getting your own family, really. And with my eldest brother, we were very close. And we reminisce every week about things. As I said, we were very close. Mm. Yeah.
And so what happened after school? I guess you were at Binstead for...
Binstead, and then I went to what was Green Street in Ryde, and then we went to Upper Grade after that. And then I left school, I think it was 1952. Well, 37, I was 15, so 1952, I suppose. Yes, I think so. And then I went straight to work at PAX. But before that, I used to help somebody change their beds for their visitors and to earn 2 and 6.
As a guest house?
Get a half a crown, or in a private house.
Yeah.
To get a half a crown, and that was like £1 million to me in those days. Yeah, but it was good.
Mm. I guess that people letting their rooms out was...
Yes, it was like... the old forge in Binstead, opposite where the Fleming Arms is.
Right.
These people had the old forge, and they used to take in guests, like bed and breakfast and that. And I used to help her weekends clean, change the beds, and you name it, I did it.
I guess those are the sort of the glory times of visitors on the island,
yes,
as well.
Yes, that's right, really.
I'm just thinking sort of the modern equivalent is the people letting their houses out. It's like Airbnb, but without the internet.
Well, no, because the people booked up to come and they came on the bus. There weren't cars, very few cars in those days. And when we were small, well, I'm saying about 9, 10, my brother and I, we used to make go-karts and we used to come down Binstead Hill on it. No, you couldn't get across. But that was the sort of things we did. Nothing cost any money. It was all what we did. And the other, we used to play cricket in the field opposite the institute. Boys and girls. No, there was no discrimination. It was just, well, really, it was fun. We never regretted it. That was really my start in life.
I think racing a cart down Binstead Hill is pretty brave.
Yes, we used to come down there, pull it up, and then one used to sit on and the other one run behind.
I guess at that age as
with
well.
With pram wheels, you used to have pram wheels on
excellent.
It.
Excellent, right.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you're fearless at that age as well, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a school came to an end and you think, right, okay, time for a job.
No, my father decided it was time for a job. He'd played golf with Major De Bell, who was at the time managing director of Pack and Colour, HPAC. Yeah.
Right.
And he said to him, is there any vacancies, apparently? He said, my daughter's looking for a job. Was she?
My daughter doesn't know she's looking for a job.
No. And he said, she can start on Monday, no interview. And I went. And then you had to have a uniform. Navy blue in the winter. Moyga shell material. And it was a navy blue suit and jacket. And in the summer, you had turquoise. And you all changed the same day to the different colour uniforms.
What was the word you said? Moyga shell?
Yeah, it was like, not crimp. It wasn't like crimpoline. It was a very soft sort of material. Creased.
A synthetic or a...
Yes, a synthetic, I suppose,
right.
Yeah.
Moyga
but
shell.
I used to cycle from Binstead to Ryde, and we used to park down the back of Pack and Colour, just leave our bikes on. I don't know what that wrote. Union Lane, I think it's called. And we used to park our bikes there. But you left your skirt at work the night before because you wouldn't go in with a creased skirt, else you'd be told off.
And the bikes were not locked, just placed at the back?
Oh, no, you didn't lock things. No, but that's what we did, yeah. And then I should cycle home at 1 o'clock, be back at 2.
For lunch?
Go home to lunch, yes. You didn't eat out in those days. And, yeah, so change, put your fresh skirt on, went up to work.
What's that sort of 10, 15 minutes bike ride?
Well, I expect I did it in about 2. Yes, it didn't take long.
Yeah.
No.
Quicker down the hill than up.
Probably.
Yeah.
Just didn't think anything of it because you cycled everywhere, didn't you? Well, you wouldn't know, but you did.
I did used to cycle everywhere.
Yes, yeah.
That's what I know you mean, yeah. So that's interesting. One, the uniform. I haven't heard about that before. And that wasn't something you bought. They were just given to you.
It was supplied, yes. Yeah.
And when you went to change, did you have...
We went to the basement. There was a basement and you just hung it up on a hanger. There's no changing rooms or anything for the staff. But you had to be smart at all times. And I remember, it came to me the other night, when you go as, I'll say, an apprentice, you never served anyone for quite a long time. The senior staff was always called forward, Miss So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. But then when you were the only one, you went, the buyer or the boss, she shadowed you to see that you said the right things to the right people.
And they then gave you feedback?
You gradually moved up. As another junior came,
okay,
you did a bit more.
So when they were shadowing you, did they, after the customer left, they'd say, that was great, and next time think about saying this?
Well, I don't know that they said that was great. I suppose she said you could have done better there. But things were very expensive in those days. But it was beautiful clothes. And I remember when certain people from Ryde or Seaview came into the shop, the boss knew forward, and as soon as she knew what they wanted, she'd sort of shadow you over to the rail or drawer or whatever to make sure you picked out the most expensive. And then, oh yes, and everything, the drawers where sweaters and things were kept, that was cleaned every week. And you folded them up neatly. And it was just a good experience. You wouldn't throw anything back in the drawer. It went in as it came out. And everything was covered in dust sheets at night. It was just really a good training.
That's interesting that literally everything was taken out of all of the drawers.
Once a
dusted
week.
Dusted down, I guess, or shaken out.
And, yeah, you brushed them out, yeah, and put... I think we had to have tissue paper in the bottom. Something seems to remind me of that. And then you folded it all back, and you usually put the bottom things at the top. And it was all... Because it was counters, of course, in those days.
So there's a glass front, so everyone yes. sees what's in there.
Yes, yeah.
And was that done during working hours?
Oh, yes.
So that was sort of seen as okay of...
Oh, yes. Well, you were working, weren't you?
Okay.
You weren't stood about talking.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it showed to the customers that you took care of the stock.
Yes, and, yes. And you always brushed the top of the rails and just made sure everything was clean.
Hmm. And that, I mean, that just the putting dust sheets. I mean, how many things were covered with dust sheets?
Well, everything was covered in dust sheets at night.
So yeah. All the counters, all
yes,
of
everything
the
was covered in dust
mannequins.
Sheets. Yes, yeah.
Goodness.
Mm.
Where do they get stored then, the dust sheets?
Well, in the basement. Well, I suppose we had a cupboard for them to just fold, only like a sheet, really.
Mm.
Yeah. Each one did their own department. So it didn't really take very long. You just used to it, really.
And then before doors opened, then the dust sheets came off again.
Of course. And if you were a minute late, woe betide you.
What was the? What happened if you were late?
Well, you were told off.
Publicly?
No uncertain terms. Well, in front of the other girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how many times were you late?
I don't think I was ever really late. I might have been, but I can't remember. So she couldn't have been too stern with me.
But you saw others maybe getting a dressing down.
Yeah, just sort of don't be late tomorrow or something like that. Not too severe, but...
Mm. Mm. And so how much before doors opened at 9, I guess?
9, you had to be there by 2:15.
Okay, that's
really.
Not too bad.
No. Because it was each department, I think there was 4 in the children's department, 4 of us. But each department had their own staff, like the children's department, haberdashery, hosiery, you know, and then you went upstairs to hats and dresses and then coats and different departments.
Mm.
And they were all separate. You had your own buyer or boss for that department, which really was quite good because... If you got told off by your boss, you could moan about it to the other people. But I do remember I had a ladder in my stockings in those days. And I can hear her saying it to this day. Miss Bailey, here, you have a ladder. Go round to haberdashery, get yourself a new pair, and it will be deducted from your wages on Friday. And you had to do it. You couldn't go with a repaired. If you had a ladder in your foot, you repaired it, obviously. But if you had one in, you weren't allowed to wear stockings with ladders.
Did you get a staff discount?
Yes, I think we did. I was thinking that, yeah.
I was thinking otherwise, you end up having to buy a very expensive pair of stockings.
Yes.
From a sort of high-end shop.
Of course, you made sure you took them off when you got on your bicycle.
Right. That's the mistake you make once, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So the after the bike ride, I'm just thinking about the sort of, you get to the hill, you put your bike on there, and then...
We just leant it against the wall.
Okay.
We didn't put it anywhere, we just leant it against the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there was a sort of staff entrance, was there?
Yes, at the back. You went down to the basement and put your bag and everything. Now, I think we were allowed to take our bags upstairs, but they weren't like they were today. It was only like a small bag.
And that's where you'd change into your...
Yes, yeah, in the basement, yeah. But when I say basement, it was just like a great big room. Mm-hmm. And that's where the stores were kept.
For clothes?
For the stock.
Okay. Right, yeah, not... yeah. And that was interesting what you were saying about two colours of uniform. And
yes,
that.
Winter and summer.
I guess that... It seemed like a very sort of a commercially astute, that they knew what they were doing.
Yes, oh, of course they did.
And
yes.
So the idea of people, of the staff then changing their clothes makes people think, all oh, right,
I spring's need... coming.
Yes. Summer's,
yes.
They then need
I can't remember what time of year we did that. It was spring and, yeah.
And which was your favourite colour outfit from the two?
Oh, at the time I liked the turquoise.
Was that because it was associated?
It was, the Navy was very smart. It was a straight skirt and like a longish jacket, if I remember rightly, with revers.
What are revers?
Well, something like that. Like you have on a suit.
Okay.
You know, your...
Open collar.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And the style of the turquoise one was...
Just the same, exactly the same.
A same cut?
Yes,
same, okay.
Yes.
Right. Can you remember your first day there?
I was very nervous, I know that. But that's really all I can remember about it being quite nerve-wracking. Then as I moved on a bit, every year they had fashion shows in different places. We used to come to Bembridge and I remember going to Tyne Hall. And I think we went to another place in Bembridge, I can't remember. But we used to do them in just different big places. I think we did one in the Town Hall at one time.
Right, Town Hall?
Yes. Just different places people would ask you for their, if they had a garden party or something like that. But I think they sold a lot of clothes through it.
So someone holding a garden party would then say, can I have a fashion show?
I suppose so. I wouldn't have anything to do with that, of course. But and Jones's, which was a shoe shop in Union Street, they used to let you have a pair of shoes to wear at the show. And afterwards, if you wanted to buy them, you got them at a discount. But somebody that only earned 25 shillings a week couldn't afford pair of Jonesy's shoes, but it was a nice experience.
You did that, did you? The modelling of
yeah.
the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
And how did that come about?
Well, they just asked you if you'd do it, and they gave you 10 shillings, and that was good.
So was it the thrill of dressing up or the thrill of the money that was appealing?
The dressing up. Oh, yes. Because as young people, you very rarely had anything new. And at 15, to be able to wear really top-class clothes and... I don't think you had your hair done, you did it yourself. It was none of that sort of thing, and makeup just helped each other. Not like today.
So it was very exciting to be asked.
It was, really. Yes. This may not be recorded, but I remember at Tyne Hall, these new shoes were, of course, very slippery. And we used to dress upstairs, come down the stairs, out onto the... We used to go around the swimming pool. They had a big swimming pool. And I slipped from the top of the stairs to the bottom. And from around the corner came the very first black gentleman I'd seen. And he had a lot of gold teeth. And he bent down to pick me up, and I was so frightened, or disturbed, shall right. I say. And he picked me up, and I went on. But I did shake me up, both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind.
Yeah.
But I think he was the first waiter that lived around this area.
And so that sort of experience of an exposure to somebody you hadn't seen before.
Yes. Mm.
But thank
it unnerved me.
Yeah.
But I've always remembered it. And you do remember those sort of things, don't you, really?
Right. And the kindness he showed
towards
you.
Yes. Oh, very kind. Mm. But I can just remember those gold teeth and his lovely smile. But
Did you see him around much again?
No, because I think they virtually stayed in house. I don't know. Okay. I really don't know, because I didn't live in Benbridge then, you see. Mm-hmm. I still lived in Binstead.
Right. So how many of the fashion shows did you do then?
I don't remember. No, I can't remember.
What was there one or of like five?
Might have been one a year, there might have been two a year, I don't know. Okay. Perhaps each season, maybe.
Yeah. And I guess in the way that they do it now, of they pick the clothes out for you and say...
Yes, that's what they used to do. And it wasn't like a catwalk. One walked round and might have walked round twice. Mm-hmm. But that was how it was. There wasn't many doing it. I can't even remember how many.
So there must have been, just sort of the... I'm just imagining the excitement of...
It was exciting, yes. Yeah. But it was interesting too, when I sometimes sit here and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
And I guess you get to see, if it's in people's garden parties and that sort of stuff, you get to see bits of the island you hadn't seen before.
Definitely. And when I came to Benbridge to live, a lady that I knew, I didn't know her rather, when I got to know her, she said, "I can remember you as a young girl being at a garden party."
Wow. Mm. Right.
And she always said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we became very good friends actually after that.
Mm. Isn't it funny that you're in the same space as someone for an hour or whatever, and then however many decades later you bump into each other.
Yeah. And then I was friends with her, and then I've been friends with the family for forever, really. Mm-hmm. It was quite lovely.
I was thinking back to when your dad had secretly got you this job that you didn't know that you wanted to have or didn't want to have. Mm. How did he introduce the idea to you when he'd done it, sorted it all out?
I've got you a job in PAX and you start on Monday.
Right. No discussion.
And what he said, you did.
Okay.
You didn't disagree. Mm.
So was it sort of sitting around the dinner table? Or?
No, he came in from golf and I've got you a job and you start on Monday. And that was on the Sunday morning. And I was terrified. But it all worked out.
What was the terror then? Where did that come from?
Well, somebody telling me what to do out of my normal circle.
I see.
I don't know really. Right. But I was. You'd left school where you could do what you wanted, really, and then go and be organised by... You didn't know who. But it worked out okay.
But were you aware of the shop before you got the job there?
Yes. Yeah. It was the posh shop. The likes of us didn't go in there.
So was it exciting to be at the posh shop? You thinking?
Oh, it was. It was quite something to say. If people said, "Have you got a job? Where you're working?" "I work in Pats." "Do you?"
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
And when it was Christmas time, we used to collect the boxes from... I know I'm jumping about, but I just remember this.
That's fine.
We used to collect the boxes from the hosiery department, the stocking boxes, which were, I suppose, what stockings fitted in. Mm-hmm. And we used to cover those with Christmas paper and sell them as apprentices. Well,
in the shop?
Yeah. We did it on the counter, and if anybody came in, you put it out of the way. And they used to use those boxes as well if you did bigger ones, like the hosiery department did there. And that's, I can't remember how much they were, but people bought them to put different things in.
So you'd taken the boxes and wrapped them in Christmas-type paper?
Yes, oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that was sort of encouraged or sanctioned by the shop?
Oh, people. Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's a sort of form of recycling, really.
Yes, it was. Yes, yeah.
I guess in those days as well.
They had to be proper corners. You didn't do a rough corner. They had to be fitted properly.
Standards for everything.
Yes, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, a beautifully wrapped box is quite
it's
a
very
thing,
nice.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you kept those box, the wrapping skills to the day?
Well, I can still wrap a box. And a bow. If somebody came in and tried a dress on with belt or anything like that, and you were taught how to tie a bow, not floppy bow. Yes. In fact...
What's the technique then?
Well, you just tie it properly. Louise, my granddaughter, she had a skirt or something on with a bow in the front one day, and it didn't look very smart. And I said to her, just come here, Louise, I'll show you how to tie a bow. And I tied it, and she said, well, I never knew that. And she was really quite delighted. And she now she'll say, that bow doesn't look very nice. But that was just something that you pick up in life. As you go through life, you pick up certain things, don't you?
And keep them with you.
Yes, you do. You don't forget those sort of things.
So when you arrived on the first day, were they quite gentle with you?
I would think so. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have gone back the next day. I don't know, really. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. And sort of showed you gently... Because you turn up with no retail skill, I guess.
No, none at all.
What were you told that your role would be there?
Well, you stand there or you do this and you do that. You were just a junior.
Yeah.
As juniors were in those days. You did as you were told. You never answered back. And you were polite to the customers, really.
So it would be things like what? Fetching stock from the cellar?
Yes, if necessary, or going up to the workroom if somebody wanted something taken up. The workroom was right on the top floor, and that was almost a retreat because you went up to the workroom and you could have a chat with the others, whereas you weren't allowed to talk amongst yourselves in the shop.
Right.
You had to be busy. Hmm.
And so somebody comes in, tries a bit of clothing on, needs some alteration. Were you the one that took the sizes?
No, you rang the workshop and the seamstress, whoever, came down, took the whatever, and then it was taken up to... Either you took it up or the seamstress took it back up. No lift up all the stairs. Took longer.
How many... So you were on the ground floor?
Yes. We were on the first floor, because the ground floor, of course, was the basement. And then okay. You had the first floor. And then there was... I think it was dresses and coats and that on the next... And then it was the milliners at the top.
And then above that?
And then above that, there was a... Yeah. So it might have been above it, or it might have been off it, but it was at the top.
So quite... I mean, rooms at the top
store.
Get hot, don't they?
Yeah.
It was pretty warm up there, wasn't it? In the summer.
Yeah, I can't remember that either.
And were there was quite a few people working in
there?
Oh,
yes.
What sort of number?
I suppose about half a dozen, I suppose. Because, of course, you had not only our department, you had, and there was the milliners, of course, they made hats in those days or adjusted them, put extra feathers on or whatever they wanted. And they used to steam hats to get them the right size for people. I can remember seeing them do that.
And that gives you some flexibility to make them larger.
Yeah.
Just sort of loosen the fibres.
Ribbons, you know, they just used to add all sorts of things to them. Mm.
It seems, well, especially these days, having six people available or busy enough to be employed.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot of
And they were skilled people. Very skilled.
And you
But of course it was top quality clothes. really, that they were working on. So they had to be skilled to do it.
I was chatting to somebody yesterday, and she was saying that she's just found the dress that she had made for when her daughter got married. They can't find the wedding dress. They thought it was up in the loft, but that seems to have vanished now. But she's still with a cover on it, and
Well, two of my daughters still got their wedding dresses. And they both bought them from Pack and Colourford, actually.
Right.
No, Miss Pack, I think. Anyway, it came from the same store, both of them.
And you said it was H Pack when you
yes,
got
it was
there.
H Pack and Co. Yeah, definitely.
And that's the sort of French francs.
The whole of French francs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's stretching either side of that.
Yes. Yeah, and in that little, there's like a little showcase in the middle of that, and they used to put really posh stuff in there. Really good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things.
I was really interested that you said each section had a buyer, because I mean, I'd assumed that the Elizabeth Pack would be the one buying everything, or whoever ran the shop at the time.
The traders used to come.
Representatives.
Yes, they used to come. And they used to take their stuff out their cases and show it to you, and, you know. All the departments had somebody came. What did they used to call them? Travellers, I think that's what they were called. And they went to each department, because you had haberdashery and you also had the hosiery department. But they used to buy what they thought people would want. And then it used to come, I suppose, by post. I don't know if there was post then.
It's quite a skill to make sure that
what you bought was what people wanted.
Yeah.
But the buyer from the children's department, she knew if he showed her something, if it was full of smocking, and you probably don't know what smocking is, but no, it was like embroidery all across the top of a lovely dress, quality dress. She knew who would buy that. Yeah, Mrs. So-and-so. But they only bought one of anything. They wouldn't buy two. But that was quite interesting, really. And you saw when you got those things in, or she'd say, something's coming in that you might like.
Oh, what, pre-warm the people?
Yes.
Right, warm them up.
Yeah.
Mm.
I can remember lots of the names of the people who used to come in, and she knew. She'd say, look what arrived today, then. You'd get them in different sizes sometimes, but mainly one of a good quality thing.
I mean, that's smart. If you're charging top dollar, you want exclusivity.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. So, you know. Mm.
With the idea of everyone was a Miss This or a Mrs. That.
Oh, that you never got called by your maiden name, your Christian name at all. No, and if she heard one of the other staff, she'd tell them off. Mm. She was a Tartar, but it was worth it in the end.
What's a Tartar?
Somebody sharp at you.
Okay.
Miss Bailey, here. But, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah. I guess particularly the first job away at a school, to have somewhere that was well-considered, well-run.
Yes, yeah. Sort
of sets you up for, you understand what a standard is.
Definitely, definitely. Lots of little things sometimes come back to me, and my daughters might look at me and say, think to themselves, yeah. But it's life, isn't it? Some things in life you remember and some you don't. And the more you think about it, the more it makes you feel quite happy to think you've gone through that era, really. Because when I go to a shop now and they give you the change and they say, here you go. We used to have to count the change out to people. Okay. Although that's not quite true. There was a cash desk. You used to have to go to they paid at the cash desk. But latterly, everybody counted the money out to people.
Oh, that changed eventually. The centralised cash desk then came tills.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
It didn't come tills. No, I think you did a stint in the cash desk in case anyone was away. Not for very often, but you had to know how to give change to people. No, I'm telling you lies. Now, you took the thing to the cash desk, they gave you the change, and you gave it to the customer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. But right. You had to count it out properly, and it was pounds, shillings and pence in those days. You know, 22, 24, 30.
Mm. And did some people have accounts, we've heard?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm. And what qualified for somebody for an account?
I don't know. Expect if you got plenty.
Right. And yeah. They'd then settle those up at the end of the month, I guess.
I suppose so, yeah. Because there was no cards or anything in those days. It was all cash. And people could take things home on what they called APRO. They could take them home, you gave them a docket, they took it home, see if they liked it, and then they would come back the next day and pay for it.
Okay.
Which was quite a good thing. People do that now. That was a good thing because they knew when they got home, if they liked it and they kept it, it was sold. But we didn't have commission or anything in those days. Whereas I think as time went on, you got commission. But, you know, going back in dark age sometimes.
So at Pro, you paid for it and then...
You didn't pay for it. Ah. You had a docket.
I see.
And they only let people who... customers, not somebody that just came off the street, they wouldn't let them take it.
Mm-hmm. But they had changing rooms and the like.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you needed a bit more time with the
customer. Oh, yeah.
To make sure you decided if you wanted to buy it.
Yeah, oh, yes, yeah.
What does that, was that short for something, APRO, do you think?
Approval, I suppose.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. And going
we used to sell things from new babies right up until, I suppose, they're about 16 or 17 in the children's department. That was lovely. I like that.
And school uniforms was a big part of
it? Yes, school uniforms. West Wing, I think, we sold. I don't know about Ride School, but I know we did West Wing. That was in Melville Street in Ryde. But I can't really remember it. I know we used to sell school uniforms, yes.
Someone was saying that they went there for their school uniform, but something about there was a Catholic school nearby, and if
the convent.
Was that it? Right.
The convent.
If the convent girls were there, then they sort of look down on the other people or something. I don't know whether...
convent girls. Convent we used to sell, I think. Yeah.
Well, thinking about that sort of... the hierarchy, you know, the idea of...
Because the convent wore brown. I remember that. Because there was one or two private schools in Ryde at that time. I suppose Fowler's might have sold the other. I don't know. I can't remember.
And was there a rivalry with Fowler's? It's sort of
right next door, more or less. No.
Different type of shop?
Similar, but not the quality.
Love the way he said that. So when we were talking about the names, everyone having Miss or Mrs. or... Mm-hmm. What was the hierarchy within the staff like?
Most of them were very nice to you. The senior saleswoman, she was very Mrs. Farminer. She was a very, very nice. If the boss told you off, she would say, "Don't worry, don't worry." And that's what made you feel more comfortable.
Right.
It's like at home, if your dad told you off, your mum said, "Don't worry about it." Similar sort of thing, really.
So would you be allowed to talk to the person who ran the shop, the whole thing? Or did you have to speak to somebody who was above you that they would then speak to somebody?
Oh, yes, yes. You never spoke to. When Major de Bell, who was managing director at that time when I was there, you almost stood to attention when he came through.
The name like that, I guess you sort of
give him the clues. His family had Black and Chine when it first... Well, might have been running for some time, but yes. And he was a major.
Striding around.
Yes.
Right, soldier
yeah.
walk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's good that he was there, otherwise he might not have got the job.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
And there was I think he must have been the main, sanctioned the buying. Mr. Osborne, his name was. He was quite old in those days. Well, I don't know about my age, but no, younger than me, obviously. But he was a very smart man. You know, once he came into the shop floor, you knew, you know, that Mr. Osborne was about. He did the wages and that sort of thing.
So he was sort of practical over everyday control.
I would think so. You know, certain things, as a youngster, you don't really know what their position is, do you? Not really. Yeah.
And what was it about him?
He did the wages, and if a main order came in, you would take it down to Mr. Osborne, or the boss would, and get him to order it specifically for people. The buyer didn't do that. He did the ordering, I know that. Yeah. But it was, you know, when you think about it, it's almost Victorian, I suppose it is. But it's a nice memory to have, really.
What do you feel when you go, I mean, you've sort of hinted at it on the change side, but when you go into shops these days?
I don't like it. It's like, I think everybody should handle cash anyway. But when they say, "Here you go," that really, nobody cares. If you say to someone in a shop today, "Oh, I've got the 4 pence or whatever, I've done it," because they don't think they can work it out personally.
Right, the subtraction of the 4 pence from the,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've done it. Because the tills all give change and they tell you how much. Mm. Sometimes they can't count the change out from the till.
And apart from the change, what other bits do you think are missing from the shopping experience these days?
Well, I don't go shopping very much these days, but very few shops have got the understanding of the customer, really. That's what I think is gone. The finesse of it, I suppose. Some shops you go into is not too bad, but as I say, I don't shop very much these days. Only when I go out with my family, we sometimes go shopping.
I guess what has happened is, the experience you had at PAX was, it's tremendously tailored to the individual, isn't it?
That's right. Yes,
whereas
it was.
These days,
definitely.
It's all about how big can we be and
how much can we take?
Yeah, how quotes right. efficient
yeah,
can we be?
Yeah, that's right.
And that strips the humanity out of it.
And of course, nowadays, children don't handle cash very much, do they? That's, I think, the problem.
Mm.
And they don't understand it.
Yeah.
Daughter and her family, they do shopping for me, and I always pay them in cash when they come, when they bring it to me, or And it's always, we always do it to the penny. We don't say keep the change, or we always do it. And we've done it, I've done it all my life with them. They do it with men.
When you give the money back, you don't say, here you go then, do you?
I say, there's my purse, help yourself. No, but we like to be straight with finances. I think that's what's lost along the way now. But then everything's for change. As you say, with the, all this electronic, it's all change.
With the, you're sort of talking about the standards within the shop of, what other standards have we not touched on, do you think, that would be of interest to people in the future?
Well, you always had to have your hair smart. Cut, if it was too long, went over your collar. I was fortunate, I never had long hair. But they would tell you, your hair is touching your collar. Which, looking back, people didn't wash their hair every day. And I suppose if it rubbed on your collar,
right,
you had a dirty collar. Looking back on these sort of things, at the time you think, oh. But I think that's something. You just had to be smart at all times. And shoe, you, your shoes had to be polished or spotless. I think we had either had to wear navy or black shoes. And when I first started, we didn't wear heels. But then when you get a bit more brave, you can wear a heel.
And the shoes were something that you left at the shop as well, didn't cycle in those?
Oh, no. Although they were yours, but you wouldn't wear them on your bike. No.
What about you? Well, one thing, sort of the standards of customer, sorry, I'm going to use a horrible word, interactions. It's only because my brain isn't working fully. But, you know, that when people first come in, and you mentioned something about being people being summoned up of...
Yes, well, the senior one went first and down the ranks, and the junior would always go last if the others were serving. But the buyer or the boss in the... You could see she was almost shadowing you to see that you said the right thing, or if they said, we're looking for a cashmere... For something, you know, what have you got? Or something for my four-year-old grandchild. You would find the best thing first. You always went to the most expensive and then gradually came down. That was, it was quite nice, really.
That's a smart way to do
retail. Because obviously baby things, you know, you sold shawls and lovely baby clothes. But then... They had to last. That was something that I do remember. Just, that's how it was.
Were they, do you think the families passed their clothing down to the next child?
Cause, oh, yes.
I mean, that's the thing about children is they grow so fast.
And they just passed them on to anybody that it would fit. I mean, my two youngest daughters, they nearly always had hand-me-downs. I couldn't afford to go and buy them anything. I'm going on now to, obviously, a bit later in time. But in those days, you know, you couldn't afford to go and buy this quality stuff, because that's what it was. But then you couldn't buy cheap stuff. You either made it, which a lot of people did make things. But, yeah.
So apart from the hair length standards...
If you had long hair, you had to either in a bun.
Okay.
Or, well, I didn't bother me because my hair's never very long. But they had a bun or a ponytail pulled up.
And did you mentioned a couple of men working there.
Porters.
Okay.
They delivered on bicycle. If somebody's goods came in, they would deliver them. And of course, they unloaded any stock that came. And I would assume they cleaned. I don't know. I can't remember that. Because, of course, once you've left, you don't know what goes on.
Mm. So when people had... Was that after they'd bought something and it arrived or after it had been altered?
They delivered it.
Okay.
On their bicycle. And they had one of those with a thing on the front. And
with a basket.
And H Pack and Co. on, like the bread bicycles used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So within...
They used to cycle a long way too. There was no delivery van.
Mm-hmm.
People either came and got them or they'd cycle Haylands and, well, wherever they had to go.
Right. Sounds like they'd have been the fittest people in the building.
Yeah, I expect so. And I think they cleaned the windows too at that time because they had to be kept pristine, obviously.
Talking of the windows, did you notice the way the windows were dressed at all?
Oh, they were beautiful. Yeah, they were always beautiful. Of course, that's what attracted the customers in. But on a Saturday, trips used to come in from mainland, day trips, the men and that. And, of course, they used to go to the pubs and get drunk. Then they used to come in about 2:30, 2:00. But they always wanted the underwear department, these men did. And the things they used to buy to take their wives home. Because, of course, it was... They had colours in those days in packs, coloured underwear and that. And they used to take ever such a lot of money on a Saturday.
Right.
Because these men were pie-eyed. Yeah. Whereas they wanted something for a new baby. They were astounded, but they paid it because they had the money for their day out.
Right.
But we had to be prepared for that. And if they made advances to you... Ooh, be careful, my dear. But it was fun.
They got a sharp response, did they?
Yeah.
So what were they'd come over just a
used to be day trips. You know, like, I suppose, sportsmen and that. I don't know who they were, but there used to be loads of day trippers come to ride on a Saturday. Of course, they came over on the ferry. It's like a holiday. I think they went in the King Lud and... Up in the trees. Yeah, well, it was, well, that was how it was. People did go out for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the island coming on the ferry that you sat up on the top and thoroughly enjoyed yourself. That was quite good. Fun.
I'm intrigued on this idea of the approach to customers and knowing...
You used to say to them, can I help you in any way? So I'm just looking, and then you didn't follow them around. And if they approached you, because you'd asked them, you used to have to call the next one up
really?
To serve them, because you were the junior. I did move up a bit. I didn't get to senior, but I did move up a little bit. But you always feel sorry for the one under you. But that's how you learn. It's like anything in life. Experience is the best way of learning.
How long were you there in total then?
Oh, about 3 years, I expect. 52, 53, 54. About 3 years, I suppose. I loved it there.
Mm.
Yeah, I did.
And then, so when? How many juniors did you have underneath you?
Only one.
That? Okay. So you sort of have 18 months of getting trained.
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been quite exciting to...
Have a junior.
Yeah. But as you say, you...
And then you could go to any department. If you wanted to train and everything else, you could do that. Of course, I wasn't there long enough to do that.
If one of them sort of, I don't know, hats took your
interest. If they wanted a new... junior in another department, you could go there and train or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you remember about your junior?
I don't. No, I don't really. Because, of course, when you've moved up, you're... moved up, haven't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So lunch was a bike ride home.
Yeah.
And then back afterwards. And then did you hang around and ride after work or...?
No. went home. Yeah.
Pack to get on a what's it to go down the hill? How was the relations between the different people who worked there? Were there?
Oh, very friendly. Mm-hmm. Everybody was very nice. Yes, it was a nice, very nice place to work. And that's really all I can say. I enjoyed it there. Obviously, you get your ups and downs, but I did enjoy it there. Yeah.
I did speak to somebody who'd been on a trip to London. This is later on, with I think Miss Guy, who was, I think, the sort of
Miss
boss.
Guy was in the dress department when I was there.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was a nice person. Strict, but then in those sort of places you had to be if you wanted quality stuff.
Oh, that she was saying that she did a trip to London with her and sort of got to know her as a person, which had never happened before.
Oh, no.
Oh, mind the microphone, yeah. It never happened before.
No, I'm sure.
But then back on Monday morning, it was back to the almost a sort of performance that
yes,
she had.
Yes, yeah.
But you didn't get to know them outside work.
No.
And what drew the 3 years of working there to a halt?
My father.
He'd been playing golf with somebody else, had he,
no,
at that point?
No, he had taken on what was the Smuggler's Barn in Bembridge. It was a pub at the time. He had taken that on with my mum, but he wanted to keep his job. So he said, I want you to come and work for me. And I wasn't very happy about it at the time. But what your father told you had to do, you had to do. And that's how I met my first husband, by working there. And that was the result of that. One of them. But, you know, that's how I came to Bembridge to live.
Okay. So you were then running, what was a bar, a pub at the time? Or?
Yes, with my mum. Uh-huh. But I was the one who was there nearly all the time. Because Dad was, I'm going to say he was very cunning. He knew, get a smart young girl behind the bar and it brings in customers. And it jolly well did.
How much of the training from PAX?
Oh, I think it was good. You didn't put up with any nonsense from people.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because how old are you then? Sort of 18, 19?
18. 17, half 18.
To have an awareness of where a line lays at that age, of what behaviour is acceptable or not from people.
You just don't accept it.
It's quite unusual to have that.
Yes,
to have
you didn't
that ability
it.
To choose.
No, you didn't accept it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, that is interesting.
I remember one customer. He was an older man, and he always used to want me to serve him. And I'm going to say he was a bit of a randy old chap, I suppose. And he got so fresh. You know, wouldn't let go of my hand when I gave him his change. And I just picked up the soda siphon and squirted at him. But I'll tell you what, he never did it again. My dad was furious.
That's very good. Well done.
Oh. You know, that's the way I was brought up. You don't do things like that.
Uh-huh. Mm. I love that. Justice.
So with the bottles on the counter you used to have in those days. Yeah.
I can see it in a sort of Tom and Jerry.
I could tell you his name now, but I won't. But he was a businessman. Yeah, I didn't put up with any nonsense.
I sort of see it in Tom and Jerry style.
Yes, that's it.
So that's interesting that the way that Pack and Culliford's or H Pack at the time had trained you then forms the rest of your...
Yeah, and for the rest of my life. That's quite right. Different things I do in the house, I know... comes back from those days.
Mm.
Like she used to go, has anybody cleaned that? Dust.
You don't cover all of your furniture with dust covers every night?
No. I've got a job to get to bed at night. They don't cover dust sheets. Mm.
I mean, that is quite remarkable. You think about the number of people that work there. I think at one point we heard there was 70 staff. To think that a business can have a positive influence on people's lives, for the rest of their lives, isn't something you'd imagine today.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
It'd be very rare, wouldn't it?
And I have seen people that I worked with getting older. You know, you meet them out and that. And we used to really reminisce, like one does, and you've still got the same opinions of it. Which you never wore too much makeup. That was another thing. You know, you just wore a little makeup. And then you gradually got a little bit more and a little bit more. And just different things like that. Your nails had to be spotlessly clean and no colour. The older ladies used to sometimes wear colour.
On the nails?
Yeah. But they were. You always had to have... Well, your hands had to look presentable, as you did. But it was good. Mm. Looking back on it, I realised what a good training it's been.
Mm.
Like the bow.
Right. That's... I wonder, is there any more that you could remember from the fashion shows, do you think? Because...
Not really, because... Okay. They're very hyped up at the time.
It was a place to be.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it was. And if you did it, you were somebody. Just for those few hours. But it was not. It was nice. I wore some nice things.
So what do you think that I should have asked you about that I haven't asked you about? Is there any thoughts that had come to your mind?
Not really. I want to tell you about the boxes because I thought that was quite important for a quality shop like that to cover boxes. And I don't know how much the boxes were, but and if somebody bought a baby coat or something like, you laid it in this box with tissue, and the tissue never had to be creased. You put it on the box and you folded it in the middle till it fitted the right side. You didn't cut it. You had to make it so as it was smooth and... Just those sort of things that you were taught to do properly. I mean, sometimes now you put, well, people put things in a box. Still looks nice, but to me, should be folded properly.
Yeah, that's sort of the standards to the very last, isn't it?
We don't even get a bag now, do you?
True. True.
You know, when people went out with a big carrier bag with H Pack and Co on it, you walked down the street, my God, you were somebody. Because there was another shop at the top of the high street called Hill Stores. I don't know whether they sold clothes. I can't really remember. I know they sold household sheets and carpets and all that sort of thing. But I think Packs and Failures were the two top shops in Ryde, because I don't, there was other obviously smaller shops, but they were the two what you would say quality shops in those days.
And did you return to Packs or
HPAC? Well, I used to go in and see them on odd occasions, but when you work in a bar you work lunch times and then you work evenings.
Yeah. That was still a bicycle ride from Binstead, was it?
No, I caught the bus.
Okay.
To Bembridge. 1 and 3 pence return to Bembridge.
What did you think of the Packs that opened in Cross Street? Did you...
Is it reopened?
Well, I'm just thinking about when they shifted from where the French Franks is. Over.
Yes, well, I'd finished by then, but it was quite a nice shop, but didn't have the same finesse as, I mean, Mrs. Burrows, well, Miss Guy, she opened that with her son, didn't she? It was still, they still had nice stuff. That's where you got your wedding dress. Yeah. But it wasn't the, it was good. She was still strict, but it wasn't the same. But then I was a customer going in.
And what was that experience like, going in as a customer?
I couldn't afford it in there, really. I was going for a coffee, but that was all.
Were you a regular at the Coffee Bean then?
No, not really.
Because I had heard that people did, they sort of dressed people up and then sort of did mini fashion shows.
Oh, yes, they did. In there, yes.
And so the about the purchasing of wedding dresses, how did that go?
In
Pax.
Miss Pax.
Was that Miss Pax, was the one that's now the estate agent up the road from, or was that when it was on Cross Street? There was another shop on Cross Street, wasn't there?
No, that was in Cross Street.
Okay.
Elizabeth Pack, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, she was still there when Mrs. Burrows, Mrs. Guy, she was there when wedding dresses, and she nearly always saw what was being sold, whoever was showing the girls. Mm-hmm. She used to say, well, that's not quite right, or... But...
Did you say that you went to buy wedding dresses there?
My daughters was bought there, and my youngest daughter was... They both bought their wedding dresses there.
And did you go along on the
Certainly.
Trip? Given the chance.
Mm. My daughter in Canada, she got married in Canada. She bought her wedding dress there. This one's wedding dress is up in her attic. But my youngest daughter bought her wedding... She came home to England to have a blessing. And we went to Pax and asked them if they would press it. And they pressed it and did everything to it. So it looked pristine. And they never charged anything for it. So that was quite a nice thing to do.
Somebody who I interviewed was saying about the wedding dress they had, and then somebody that they knew got one from, I don't know, Southampton or Portsmouth or London, that they then had to spend 2 days ironing the wedding dress, whereas the Pax one
local.
Turned up beautifully presented and no work needed to it.
No.
Yeah.
Mm. That was the place to go. In the past, but there's one or two nice wedding dress shops now.
That's great. So is there anything else that I should ask you about?
I don't think so. It wasn't a very long time to have been there, was it? But
it's been fascinating.
Some happy memories.
Yeah, really fascinating. It's been great, and I'm really glad that we got into some details as well. So it's been lovely. Thank you very much.